from Vermont Public. This is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Friday, February 7th, and here are today's headlines. After a tax revolt at the ballot box last year, the governor warned schools to do everything possible to keep spending in check. And despite financial pressures, notably from healthcare premiums, school districts appear to be trying to do just that. With salaries and benefits the largest line item in every school budget, that means personnel cuts. The school board for the Champlain Valley School District, for example, wants to cut 39 positions next year. Longtime music teacher Andrew Miskovaj is among those planning to retire.
You're probably going to be hearing from lots of people about how disappointing it is that the schools are not able to offer the education that we have offered. I mean, CVU at one point in time was considered one of the best high schools in the country, and we are not able to offer that same level of academic service.
School budgets won't be finalized until voters weigh in, typically on town meeting day. State officials say it will cost $40 million to repair water and structural damage at the Bennington Battle Monument. Jamie Duggan is director of State Historic Sites and says the limestone monument has been 100% saturated by water. And he says initial costs to simply dry out the structure could hit $10 million.
You know, nothing is being done while we're thinking about how to get some traction and moving forward. And that is going to continue to increase the amount of deterioration as well as increase the costs.
The monument pays tribute to a key Revolutionary War battle and it drew nearly 40,000 visitors last year. Officials don't yet have a plan to fund the needed repair work, but they say it will likely involve a mix of state, federal, and philanthropic contributions. The Burlington International Airport will soon offer a new seasonal nonstop route to Charleston, South Carolina. Breeze Airways flights to Charleston will take off starting on May 30th. The airport announced that in a press release. This will be Breeze's sixth nonstop route out of Burlington after beginning to offer service there in January of 2024. Overall, the Burlington Airport will offer 19 nonstop routes, the most since 1990. The Middlebury New Filmmakers Festival is showing a handful of neo-noir movies as part of its monthly MNFF Select series. Lost Chances, neo-noir here and now, will include screenings of No Country for Old Men in March and Winter's Bone in April. Caitlin Boyle is a documentary film producer and the executive director of the Middlebury New Filmmakers Festival. Yesterday on Vermont Edition, Boyle talked about how classic noir films influence modern crime thriller novels and vice versa.
There's a real interplay, I think, across 70 years of book being adapted into film, being readapted into a new screenplay. Like, there's a kind of internal conversation happening among these films and their literary counterparts.
The next film in the series, The Thin Blue Line, will play at 3 p.m. on Sunday in Middlebury's Town Hall Theater. Coming up, this week we've been hearing stories of Vermonters identified as homeless who died over the last several years. In this final installment of the collaborative series with 7 Days, reporter Liam Elder Connors spoke with a former girlfriend and with the daughter of a man named Sean Kelleher, whose death was the result of a violent accident. His story is coming up after this.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency, where support comes from VITA, supporting business growth and innovation in the Green Mountain State. From agriculture to manufacturing, energy to food production, find solutions that turn your business dreams into reality. Visit VEDA.org and see how VITA can help make it happen.
Homeless Vermonters face many deadly risks, but the state doesn't track how many have died or what kills them. A first-of-its-kind analysis by Vermont Public and 7 Days identified at least 82 people who died either living outside or sheltered in motels between 2021 and 2024. Many of those deaths happened in largely invisible ways, in tents, sheds, motel rooms, and dumpsters. This week, we're bringing you three of their stories. In this final installment, Vermont Public's Liam Elder Connors has the story of Sean Kelleher.
While accidental drug overdoses account for the majority of deaths among homeless Vermonters, violent accidents also account for a handful of fatalities. In 2023, 3 people were crushed in dumpsters. There was a 67-year-old Rutland man and a 34-year-old mother of 3 from White River Junction. The third death was Sean Kelleher.
I was living on Crombie Street, and he was friends with my neighbors that lived across the street.
Jessica Barrows grew up with Kelleher in Burlington's Old North End. They weren't particularly close, but they ran in the same circles and would see each other over the years. In 2019, Kelleher needed a place to stay. Barrows, who had moved to Hinesburg, said he could stay at her place. The two eventually started dating.
My happy times with him were normal days, like as I'm sitting in the kitchen doing dishes or cooking dinner. And, you know, that look where you catch each other staring, but you want to pretend that neither one of you were looking, you know, stuff like that.
But their relationship wasn't easy. Kelleher was an alcoholic. The 50-year-old had been in and out of prison for most of his life and was often homeless, sleeping outside or crashing at a friend's place. Sometimes, often after a fight, Kelleher would leave Barrow's house for the streets of Burlington.
Only one time it was longer than 3 months, but usually never more than a couple weeks to a month.
He was a part of my life, in and out.
That's Kelleher's daughter, Marissa. She says her dad wasn't around much while she was growing up. He was often in prison. As an adult, she wouldn't hear from her dad for months or even years.
It's hard to see your parent in a light as an adult and think of them as a parent when you weren't raised with them. So it was more like, hey, I'm hanging out with this guy that has the same DNA as me.
June 2023 was another one of those times when Kelleher disappeared to Burlington. He and Barrows got into an argument. It didn't seem unusual to Barrows when he didn't call or come back to Hinesburg after a few days. Then, one morning, Barrows was watching the news.
Update now to the man found dead at a Williston recycling facility last week. Today, police aren't saying who he is. Williston police say 50-year-old Sean Kelleher was found.
Said Sean Keller. And I didn't hear the rest. The body found in the, I remember the headline said, Burlington man's body found. And I remember, I heard it, and I had to rewind it because I have DVR. So I could get the number to where to call.
Workers found Kelleher's mangled body a few days earlier on the conveyor belt at Casella's Williston recycling facility. Police identified Kelleher using his tattoos, but they couldn't find any next of kin. That's why they put his name on the news. Barrows says she's struggled since Kelleher died. She, too, is a recovering drug addict and formerly homeless. After Kelleher died, she says she started using again, fell behind on her bills, and almost lost her housing.
Something just told me one day, you know, this isn't helping. Sean wouldn't want this. Something woke me up and was like, okay, we got to get this fixed. And I did. I eventually fixed everything. It took about 4 or 5 months to get the bills back where they're normal sized.
Marissa, Kelleher's daughter, says her grief has been complicated.
I didn't cry right off because it's hard to miss someone that you're used to living without. But I can say that once it hit me and the realization, I don't think that I cried because I missed him. I think I cried because of the potential relationship that we could have and that we didn't have that option anymore.
Marissa held a memorial for her dad about a month after he died. It was a small event, just some family and one of her dad's close friends. They brought his ashes to the Burlington waterfront and then dropped off care packages to a local homeless shelter. For Vermont Public, I'm Liam Elder Connors.
This story was co-reported by 7 Days staff writer Derek Brower. You can read the story at vermontpublic.org, at 7daysvt.com, or in this week's print edition of 7 Days. And please do take a pause if necessary before we turn to news from a week in the world of sports, as we do each Friday here on The Frequency. We'll start with the shifting winds that blew through the NBA before the league's trade deadline. And like a Larry Bird no-look pass that takes everyone watching by surprise, coaches, players, fans, and pundits alike are still trying to get a handle on the swap that had the Dallas Mavericks sending Luka Doncic to the LA Lakers in exchange for Anthony Davis. There were other players involved in what was a three-team swap, but the shockwaves were all about Doncic and Davis trading places. And when I say no one saw it coming, that includes Lakers superstar LeBron James, who reportedly thought the deal was a hoax when he first got wind of it. At 25 years old, Doncic is already one of the game's most prolific scorers. He led the league last year, averaging nearly 34 points per game, and the Boston Celtics had their hands full in the finals trying to keep the European phenom contained en route to their eventual championship. Doncic now joins one of the greatest players of all time, the ageless LeBron James, creating a 1-2 offensive punch that will be fascinating to watch and difficult, to put it mildly, for other teams to defend. Now, Anthony Davis is no slouch himself. The big man was key to the Lakers winning the title in 2020, and he can light it up on offense too, averaging 25 points per game this season. but his chief strength is being an elite defender. He's pulled down nearly 12 rebounds per game this year and defends the rim as well as anyone in the game. Still, it was thought Doncic was simply untouchable as trade bait. The Mavericks obviously think otherwise. Not satisfied with making it to the finals last year, only to lose to Boston in five games, they're betting on the old adage that defense wins championships. But Davis is 31 years old, 6 years older than Doncic, and unlikely to match the mega point output Luka provided for Dallas. The call here is bold move by the Mavs, but this trade favors the Lakers. Also this week, the Miami Heat finally solved their Jimmy Butler problem, trading their disgruntled superstar who made no secret of wanting out of South Florida to the Golden State Warriors. The Heat get a pretty good forward in Andrew Wiggins, who's averaging 17 points per game this season, but really they just wanted to dump Butler and his $52 million player option for next year. The Warriors hope Butler can mesh well enough with the aging but still transcendent Steph Curry to help them turn back the clock and make another run or two in the playoffs. But overall, this deal is more of a desperation move by both clubs for different reasons. To the NHL, and I wish I could report that the Boston Bruins are trending up before the league pauses for its Four Nations tournament. The Bees put together a nice 3-0 home win over Minnesota on Tuesday, then went ahead and reverted to self-sabotage mode the next night, blowing a 2-1 lead against the Rangers in New York, surrendering the tying goal early in the third period, then yielding the game winner while they were on the power play. So, with one game left before the break, the Bruins are outside the playoff bubble and looking like a postseason no-show unless they can put together a string of wins after the tournament. Solving their Jekyll and Hyde home road problem would help. They're an impressive 18-8-3 at TD Garden this season, but a woeful 9-15-3 away from Boston. As for the Four Nations tournament, great substitute for the meaningless All-Star game no one really cared about. Instead, some of the league's best players from the U.S., Canada, Finland, and Sweden will compete against each other in a round-robin format not unlike the Olympics. My only beef is, since it's limited to those four countries, what about stars like David Pastrnak of the Czech Republic, Leon Draisaitl of Germany, or the player likely to pass Wayne Gretzky for the most goals scored in NHL history, Alex Ovechkin, who's from Russia? If this really is an alternative to the All-Star game, shouldn't it come closer to showcasing all the stars? Now, there's a football game coming up on Sunday. Let's hope it's super enough to bowl us over. I would have been more excited to see at least one of two teams that have never won the big game before, the Detroit Lions or Buffalo Bills, playing for the Lombardi Trophy. Instead, I'm forced to root against the Kansas City Chiefs, becoming the first NFL team to win the title 3 years in a row. I'm sure this is how football fans outside New England felt about the Patriots during their dynasty years, so I shouldn't complain. But I really do hope the Philadelphia Eagles can knock down Pat Mahomes and company by winning just their second championship in franchise history. The first, by the way, came against Tom Brady and the Patriots, so they have some experience toppling MVP quarterbacks and playing the upset card. The Eagles certainly can win it. They had the top-rated defense in the league this season, and if former New York Giants running back Saquon Barkley, who's having the best year of his career, has a monster game and keeps Mahomes off the field as much as possible by eating up the clock doing so, Philly may just pull this one out. So I'm calling it for the Eagles, 27-20, which means you should probably go ahead and bet on the Chiefs. And if you are wagering, please do so within sane financial means. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Lola Dufour, Peter Hirschfeld, Adia Gulston, and Andrea Lorien. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelyan, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertley. I'll talk to you later.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.